Warning, the following audio transmission will forever change your outlook on society. You will no longer believe the narrative. You are about to wake up and see things for what they really are. News, facts, and opinions. This is the Doom Daily Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Doom Daily Show. The email, doomdailyshow@gmail.com. Go there, send us an email. Today is Sunday, April 14th. Time is 1918. You guys will be getting this on Monday morning, which means you will just have gotten through your weekend, and I hope it was a great one. Before we get into this, guys, make sure to check out Reaper Apparel Co. Go to reaperapparelco.com and utilize code DOOMDAILY for 10% off all your awesome Reaper apparel gear. So my weekend was a little bit interesting, and we're going to get into this. I have been at the prison for a little while now, and everybody's definition of time frame is different, but I don't like to give out too many details of myself. So when I say a little while, you take that with what it is. Those of you that listen to my other show or follow me on social media know about how long that is. But I've been working there long enough to where I've figured out what I don't like about the place, okay? And it usually takes me working a job for a little while to find out, like, hey, I could tolerate it, I can't tolerate it, there's things I like, there's things I don't like. And I think a lot of people out there now feel that way about their jobs. And it is an employee market. There are jobs everywhere. You can pick and choose and go here and there because everybody's hiring, everybody's desperate, and you have the power of social media and the internet to get jobs. I remember being younger and going through newspaper ads to try to find jobs because job postings on the internet just weren't a thing in our area. It didn't grow yet. Now, if you go on there, you've got, you know, Indeed.com, and I don't even know if Monster still a thing, or are they gone now? I don't know. There's multiple ways to find a job now. Google even has search parameters for jobs now. So getting a job for somebody isn't as difficult as it once was, or trying to find out who was hiring. It's not like it was. You can easily find out who's hiring now. You can basically schedule everything through your smartphone, whether it's, you know, setting up an interview or, you know, your tax paperwork or the initial application. I remember just being young and having to go and buy a newspaper, and you wanted to buy that Sunday newspaper, the one that cost you extra money because it had extra listings in it, extra job listings. So you'd go out, you'd buy that paper on a Sunday, you'd spend the day going through a circle in different jobs you might want to have, and then Monday morning, you were on the grind. You were either driving to these places, calling these places, all in hopes to get a paper application put in hopes to be able to talk to somebody and fill something out. Because nothing was sent by mail, nothing was digital, there was no emailing a job application in back then. These companies didn't even have websites back then for you to fill out contact information online. It was not a thing yet, okay? So you'd spend Monday, Tuesday, maybe a little portion of Wednesday if you were really job hunting to try to, you know, just gain that employer-employee contact, just so you could have a conversation or find out what the pay was or find out more about the job or see if you even had a shot. And I don't hear that term used anymore, job hunting. I don't hear it. So anyway, by the time you got all of this done, you would hope that within a week or two, you would get a call back for an interview. And then about a week after that, you got your interview and you hope that it went well. And then you spent another week waiting for the callback to say, yes, you have a job. Then it was like another week going through, you know, the process of starting employment, the paperwork, the tax forms, the background checks, whatever all you had to do. Okay. It was a process. So from start to finish, it wasn't uncommon when I was younger for it take over a month from the time you found out about this job, from the time you were actually started in there. And then it might be 2 months maybe before you even got a paycheck. I remember it was so hard to get paid back in the day. Like there was always a digit wrong, or, you know, they forgot about your paycheck. There was always some reason to not pay you, right? And it seems like today it's like, no, we want to pay you because we want you coming back. And I look at these youngsters running around, and it's like, you don't know the struggle, what it is to job hunt and look for a job. And, you know, I remember back in the day, like, man, what are you doing this week? I'm gonna go try to find me a job. That's how it went. And today's youth does not understand that because everything is right there on the smartphones. It's extremely easy to do, and they have no idea what it's like to have their backs pinned against the wall trying to track down a job. But I do. And that's why, you know, I am kind of picky and choosy about the jobs I'll take or the jobs I get. And I won't work just anything because I know what I like and I know what I don't like. And currently, the job I'm at the prison, it's the best money with the easiest money I ever made, right? It's very simple, very easy job. But I'm having some limitations with this job. I don't like being out of contact for 12 hours a day. I don't like being stuck there. I don't like the isolation. I don't like it. We were not meant to be confined to isolation. And that's what you're doing in there with no phone, stuck by yourself. All this time goes by and it's like staring at the clock for 12 hours straight. I can't do it full time anymore. So with this, over the weekend, I talked to my boss and some fellow employees over at the Wee Woo Wagon station and got, you know, more or less offered a full-time position on the Wee Woo Wagon. So I decided to take it. And it is a slight pay cut initially, but that will turn itself around here in no time at all. And I'll be making hopefully more money than what I'm making now with working less. And I have even offered to stay working at the prison on a part-time basis. Because I would do that. I would go back in there part-time, but I just can't have the restriction and control anymore. And speaking of control, we're going to get to that right after this break.
Want to advertise on the Doom Daily Show? Send producer Scooter an email, doomdailyshow@gmail.com. And this 15-second ad slot could be yours.
So last week, I wanted to get into this control thing. And, you know, this show is kind of my life recap, like what I did that day and what's going on. And just, you know, I'm telling a story as we go here. The Doomer story, whatever you want to call it. But the reason I wanted to get into this control thing so much is because all of us are buying into it so much. It's happening to us all the time, every day, and we're just accepting it, and we're just moving forward with our lives, and nobody is the wiser, okay? So we all know that the EVs are bullshit. We all know the main reason to put those in is to control you. We all know the reason of the stoves and the Wi-Fi connected thermostats. We all know all these things are for a sense of control. We know that the bans that they want to impose on social media, things like the TikTok, we know that is a form of control. There's other things that have been taking place too. And some of these things are like the idea that your vehicle is spying on you and sending your data back to companies that process it and send it to your insurance carriers to tell them how you're driving so they can raise your rates, so they can continue to line their pockets, all right? Also, your phones are spying on you 24 hours a day for targeted cookies, you know, like the ads, all the preferences in there that nobody ever reads. They just click accept and continue. They never go in there and turn off the advertising cookies. What happens when you do this stuff is your phone is listening, okay? And they pick these targeted ads and everything does. And you know it, you'll be talking about Harbor Freight and then boom, you'll get all these Harbor Freight ads on your Facebook page. Or you'll be talking about a trip to Cancun and then boom, you'll get that. Or you'll be talking about like, you know, I want to take a trip to Hawaii. Boom, low airfare to Hawaii. Or if it's, you know, I want to open a bank account in Switzerland, maybe you get some weird one-off ads for that. Or hey, I wonder if the Home Depot has good coupons or does the Home Depot have good deals right now? And then boom, all these things just start populating up. Like they populate within your newsfeed or your Facebook, or you'll be on YouTube and a random ad will pop up and it'll be like, how'd they know? Well, that's how they know. And we have become subservient to this lifestyle. We have said, okay, give me the control, I'll take it, because it makes your day more efficient. It allows you to function. I was in a store yesterday with my wife. I took yesterday off work. I needed a break. And we go a few towns over or whatever, and we're walking through the store and they had wallets in there, you know, like regular wallets. And I crack one open. So I wanted to see the inside. It's a wallet. It's nothing special, but you know, I want to pick it up. I want to touch it. And there's that center fold in there that holds like 20 pictures. And I look at my wife and I'm like, why would anybody still put pictures in their wallet when they could have them on their phones? And then it kind of hit me in that moment, like, shit, we don't need these anymore because we have the phones. And I was like, well, shit, we don't need photo albums anymore because we've got Facebook and galleries that store 1,000 photos. Who remembers sending out film to get developed, and then getting that sent back to you so you had that picture in your hand so you could put it on the wall and hang it up so you could see like a fun time you had and remember that fun time, or, you know, you could show it to your buddies, like, or you could mail them a picture. That's like me and my cousins when we were kids, we used to mail each other pictures, right? I had some cousins that lived states away, and we only got to see each other, I don't know, a couple times a year maybe. So I would write letters and send pictures to my cousins, you know, that were all these states away. And all that has went away. Technology has overtaken that. If I want my cousin to see a picture now, I send it through my phone. I take it, I send it. It's almost instantaneous. There's no waiting on film to come back in the mail forever. There's no sending a letter out that's going to take forever to get there. And to me, it's like almost sad that that has died off, that we don't do that anymore. Like, I swear to God, I got a bunch of photo albums from when I was a kid, and like photo albums with like my all my parents' stuff and horses that my mom had over the years and like all these different animals we had over the years. And I swear to God, one day I'm gonna pull those things out and I'm gonna organize them. And I'm going to throw probably half of them away and keep half and make like a, you know, a my childhood album and keep that sucker somewhere in the house. One day I'll get to that. But so here's the thing that a lot of people aren't taking into consideration with this control. Control equals monitoring. And control means they shut down what you want to do, right? So whether it's as simple as I want to cook this meal for dinner, or I want to have my house at this temperature, or I want to send this person a picture, or I want to drive a certain way, they are figuring out a way to have control over you this whole entire time. It is taking place, all right? And it's getting worse as far as things go. We all have heard about the stoves, right? Biden wanting to ban gas stoves. Well, now this guy's administration is now wanting to go after light bulbs. The one simple little invention that was the whole reason you got, one of the whole reasons you got power in your house in the first place, you know, the idea of having light. When you're thinking about getting power, you build a new home. And you're, you know, if you're not someone who's steeped in construction and you're thinking like, I'm getting a new home built, I got to get the electric done. What's going through your mind? You want to have lights. Maybe you're thinking about, you know, running the microwave. Maybe you're thinking about, well, I have to wash clothes. Not many people are thinking about, well, I'm on a well and I need that electric to run that pump. Not many people are thinking about, well, I need that to run the garage door opener, or I need it to cook food. A lot of people aren't thinking, oh, electric makes the stove work. Not a lot of people are going there, but everybody's like, yeah, we need light bulbs. That's like a necessity. Why are they going after that? And it's like, it's a couple different things. For starters, they're saying it's the climate footprint of the light bulb, which, okay, hear me out with this. The little power that light bulb uses has nothing, it doesn't have shit on the EVs. Going from a gas stove to an electric one is like turning 100 light bulbs on at once. Okay, maybe not quite, but you understand the gist of what I'm saying. But you want to go after the freaking light bulb. And then part of me thinks it's like it's a way to kind of reverse this economical crisis that we're in a little bit. Everybody can afford to go buy new light bulbs if we tell them to. So they'll have to spend gas to go to the store. Maybe they're close to an oil change. Maybe if we tell them, get out and go buy this couple dollar item, it'll get people spending money, because everybody doesn't want to spend money right now because of how shitty the economy is. Maybe, but it's everything from what you're driving to the lights in your house. Tell me we are not moving into a communist state. Tell me that. And if you could honestly say that, justify it in an email. doomdailyshow@gmail.com. Because we're moving there. We're moving into this. And I hate to even think of it, but that's essentially what it is. It's full and utter control over the American people, so they can run you right into the ground and take all your money along the way. Isn't that fun, ladies and gentlemen? Isn't it fun you can't select what you want to cook on, whether it's natural gas or propane? It has to be electric when our infrastructure with electric is so piss poor. Isn't that wild? Isn't it funny that they now want to control the light bulb and the car you drive and turn down your thermostat when you aren't there? Oh, and if that's not enough, if you live in certain parts of the country, there are certain times a day you're not even allowed to charge your car. Think about that. If you did buy into their bullshit and you went and you got the EV, there are times you're not even allowed to charge it during certain parts of the year. So how about that? How about they tell you to buy it, then tell you what you can do with it? How about that? And we're going to get into something else after this. But the final point on this is, who do you think is making most of the profits off this control? Where do you think that money's going? I'll give you a hint, and it starts with a C. We'll be right back after these messages.
Prep Stock is happening this October. Go to www.prepstock.net for more information. Prep Stock is the ultimate survival event. That's prepstock.net for all information and updates.
So it's pretty safe to say that we've seen it all, like, in the last year here. But holy shit, if 2024 hasn't been a year. I mean, already. I mean, but think, like, let's recap a little bit within the last year here. We got trains derailing. We've got planes falling apart in the sky. You've got Israel and Gaza conflict happening. You've got Ukraine and Russia happening still, you know. You've got proxy wars taking place everywhere. Now ships are hitting bridges, okay? And now Iran has launched an attack on Israel. And if you aren't really familiar with this, April 13th, so yesterday for me, Iran launched hundreds of airborne ordnance toward Israel, saying it was revenge for what Iran claims was an Israel strike on its embassy compound in Syria in early April. Okay, this is all, you can all go back and read this on the Epic Times. That's where I pulled this information from. So the reality to this is that out of everything that they launched, 99% of the projectiles fired by Iran were intercepted with help of, you know, I mean, Israel being starters that were deflecting these things, but with the support of the United States, the UK, France, and other partners. Okay, so think about how many countries are getting involved to fight for Israel when it comes to this Iran thing. All right, and think about where this could escalate too, because right now, the Biden administration is trying to figure out a way to prevent more conflict with this situation. Because Israel's going to retaliate. They're not going to retaliate. And if nobody's picked up on this, Israel has been the center of conflict for a very long time. All right. There's always seems to be conflict in that part of the world. Like, it never seems to go away. There's always something going on. And, you know, Israel's Iron Dome system is wicked. It is. If you get online and look up the videos of the Iron Dome in action, that thing was badass. All right. And it is just this. It's, I mean, to basically put this simple, it's a missile battery that they put out on the ground in different areas. And this thing detects incoming ordnance and blows it out of the sky before it could do any damage. You got to think, like, with they intercepted between, you know, the U.S. and other countries, whatever kind of work was going on in the mix, they intercepted 99% of what was thrown at them. Okay. And this is pretty wild to think about, but Israel is going to make its own decisions on how to deal with this. All right. And I know that our administration is going to give a little bit of a pushback saying, hey, we don't want more conflict, mainly because we don't profit from it. Right. And I'm pretty sure that's ultimately what it boils down to. Hey, there's no money to be made for us in this. We really don't need to help or be funding it. Okay. And on one hand, I get that. I understand things to an extent when it comes to war profiteering, because there are companies out there whose sole business model is based around conflict. And, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of jobs that depend on this throughout all different industries across America that depend on their paychecks to come in from different weapon manufacturing, shipping of items. Like, war is a big industry. And if there's no new wars, there's no new products to be made. There's no new jobs. There's no new income. There's no money being added to the bank account. That's how that works. And isn't that funny when you think about it? Like, there are companies out there that are war profiteering off, you know, the blood of humans on this planet. That's really, honestly, truly what it is. You know, if you got a guy who's sitting there like, man, we've got 900 of these tanks and they're getting outdated. I really wish there was a conflict in this one area so we could sell these things off and you know, buy new ones. So the war guys would have, you know, the weapons manufacturers would have a reason to make more. You know, of course they want it too, because they want to make a product to send out, right? That's the same. Look at it like this. Auto manufacturers are the same way. They could build vehicles with longer lifespans. But what good does that do you? Because would you come back and buy one all the time? No. We've all got it in our heads that if you have a vehicle, you want to get rid of it before it hits 100,000 miles, right? Because after that, trading goes to shit. But ladies and gentlemen, why do you have to trade it in? You have to trade it in because we're taught that once it gets over a certain amount of miles, it's not going to last much longer. We're not taught, oh, there's a 100 of these things that get totaled a year, minimum. So there's 100 motors sitting in junkyards if this motor goes bad. We're not taught that. We're not taught fix and repair. We're taught replace. That's what we are taught. And I hate that. It's bullshit. It pisses me off really, really bad. Anyway, we'll be right back after these messages.
Can't get enough of Jester Dooms? Check out his other show, It's Doomsday Podcast, available on all podcast platforms. That's It's Doomsday Podcast.
Back to the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know where I was really going with that last rant, but my point is made. We are a disposable society, and thus we have another war and conflict that's probably going to help this disposable society move right along as these large weapons manufacturers make money off the blood of the innocent, is what's happening. Now, I wanted to get into a little bit of a story, something that really got me fired up today, because when I'm at my job, I have 12 hours a day to do nothing but stew on things and be pissed off because I'm not allowed to have a cell phone, not allowed to have a magazine, not allowed to have a newspaper, not allowed to have a book, word search, crossword, puzzle, nothing. You're just there, staring out the window, waiting for something to go wrong. So you'll get something in your head and it'll stick and you'll stew on it. So about 4-ish years ago, my wife says, Dooms, I want goats. I said, really? She goes, yeah, I think we should get goats. And I'm like, you know what? I want goats. That's part of the homestead plan. You want them now? Yeah. Well, we're not really ready for goats, but okay, we'll go get some goats. Well, that started our goat journey. All right. Now, at some point in the mix of fully getting things together, I went back to work after the restaurants were opened and things like that. And it was like, okay, kids are a little older now. Pandemic's over. I'm going back to work. So when I went back to work, it threw a big wrench in the gears of everything I had planning on doing here at the property. One of these things I was doing was I was working on my goat fence, right? And I got a nice little section fenced off around a pond. And so the goats have pond water, and there's a duck, and there's different critters and things, and they all coexist and they're fine. But because they're all in one big paddock, I don't have a way to separate the males and the females, so they're continuously breeding. So now Doomy has a lot of goats, all right? And Doomy's trying to get rid of goats. Now, the only way for Doomy to not get more goats is to put up fencing. But Doomy works two jobs and volunteers. So Doomy ain't doing no fencing, okay? So my wife says, I got a guy that says he could do the fence. And I'm like, okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I built a beautiful fence, all right? All my uprights for my fence are 4x4s that are pressure treated, 8 foot long. They go 3 feet into the ground, all right, with 5 feet exposed. Every single one of them is that exact height, 3 foot in the ground, 5 foot above the ground, okay? And I did them all that way except for maybe one or two where there was a gigantic rock that I couldn't get through. And I'm like, you know what? It's only going down 2 foot. We'll lop a foot off the top. It'll all be even. But not many of them worked out that way. All my boards on my fence are all pressure treated 2x6s. I know what you're thinking. It's expensive, and it is, but it's a gorgeous fence. After that, I got acrylic paint, painted everything black. I pulled and stretched barbed wire and electric fence, and I have a hell of a fence. And it was a lot of work. It was a lot of work. To get the area I got done took a long time because you gotta dig the holes, you gotta put the poles in, you gotta put these up, you gotta cut the boards to fit, then you gotta go back, you gotta paint it all, then you gotta run your barbed wire and your electric wire and put in your insulators, and it's a lot. So it took a while. As good things do, they take time. So my wife says, I got a guy that might be able to finish the fencing. I'm like, well, that's good because we need to get these goats out of this fencing. And I said, what do they want to do the fence? So, well, it's two guys and they want 20 an hour to be there together. I was like, oh, so 10 bucks an hour per guy. That's not bad. All right. As long as they're not working more than I'm working at work, this should be, you know, not bad, because it's hard for me to justify a project if I can do it myself that I'm not making. You know what I'm saying? If I'm paying them more than what I make and I can do the job myself, it doesn't make sense. I'll just do it. Okay. So what really pissed me off, I I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. And they did an area that's about 40 feet-ish, maybe 50, and they got started on it, and they did it. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, that looks a little wonky. So I go to talk to the guys, and they're like, yeah, we're trying to get it as straight as we can, but it's kind of hard trying to follow this roadway down here. And I was like, yeah, you know, when I was doing the fence here, I marked two areas and used a string. And the one guy's like, you use a string? Wow, we didn't think of that. And I'm like, and I'm paying you guys. You're getting paid to be out here. Okay, all right. Well, needless to say, I come back today and I look at it and I'm like, this shit is fucked up. Every post is in and out and in and out. It is not straight. They did not angle one single cut. And it's to the point now where I got 6x6s barely hanging on to the 4x4s. So all the work that they did, I now have to go back and fix. And this has me pissed off beyond belief, because the only reason I don't have time to do it is because I'm going to work, because that's apparently what you have to do is work, and the money that's being made off me and my wife's work is going back to do a fence that I could do myself and do a better job. So good help is hard to find. And I'm going to tell you guys something. With the way of the world, the moral of the story is, with the way of the world and the way things are going, get handy. Learn how to do some shit. Because I just wasted a shit ton of money to have somebody start a project and fuck things up that I now have to go back and fix, that's going to take me more time than probably what it would have before, what it would have beforehand. Like, I got to go back and spend more time ripping apart their fuck-ups and redoing everything than it would have been just to do it right the first time. And God damn it, that has me so pissed off. When I know if I would have done it, it would have been done right the first time, and I wouldn't have wasted any money on labor. That's what pisses me off. So there's creators out there online that specialize in the DIY stuff. If you're looking into something, find a couple of these guys, watch some of their videos, give them follows, and learn from them. Don't do what I did and make this mistake. I'll never freaking do this shit again. Anyway, the email, doomdailyshow@gmail.com. Scooter, I'm out of here, babe. I love you.
I love you too, Jester.
News, facts, and opinions. This is the Doom Daily Show.